This is the operator. I do need to remind all parties that the call is being recorded at this time. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. And thank you. You may begin.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good day, everyone. Thank you for joining today's call on the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group. My name is Steve Shang. I'm an ICANN policy staff supporting the working group. The working group has asked me to give an update of the interim report to the community. There are two goals for this presentation. First, we want to brief the community of the working group's work. And second, more importantly, the working group has just issued the interim report that is in public comment. And we will very much like to hear the community feedback on some of the proposed recommendations. In this presentation, I will introduce the background of our work and some of the recommendations. And at the end, open up for questions. So as an introduction, what we're talking about IRD, the internationalized domain name, the IDN, the labels, there are guidelines today already exist for those, how are they composed and submitted. There's the IDNA guideline for use of IDNs in applications. However, as of today, there are no standards exist for the submission and display. There's no standard exists for the submission and display of the domain registration data in directory services. So the domain registration data in the ICANN context is commonly referred to the Whois data. And the directory services most frequently refers as the Whois services. So realizing these problems, the IRD was formed to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing submission and display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data. So there are two questions here. There is the suitability question. So traditionally, all the domain registration data is in U.S. ASCII. So going into the IDN era, do we want to keep that in U.S. ASCII? And if we allow multiple scripts in the Whois data, how do we kind of avoid a Tower of Babel effect where we can think of, many, many scripts in Whois, but registrants cannot understand and contact each other? So that's the suitability question. The other part is the feasibility question is the Whois protocol able to support the submission and display of the internationalized registration data? And if not, what kind of recommendations we should do about that? So those are the two questions. So just some background. Domain registration data are the data that registrants provide at time when registering domain. It includes, the following items on the slide. And this information is usually displayed using the Whois protocol, at least for GTLD registries and registrars. A subset of the data is also displayed, used in CCTLDs. Registries as well. So the working group deliberated about, how to internationalize the data, and one consensus was various data elements could be separately internationalized. So for some of the elements, there are already internationalizing standards for that. So for example, there's telephone fax. There's the ITU standard, the email, there's a new RFC, studying is internationalization. So the working group just use these standards and that are described here. We would also like to seek the community feedback on the community's thought on these approaches. The key question the working group would particularly like to seek feedback from the community is internationalizing the contact data. So the contact data, you know, we have the domain owner contact, the technical contact, and the administrative contact. This includes names, organizations, postal addresses. We have discussed four models to internationalize the data. Before I go into detail of these models, I want to highlight some of the principles that guide our discussion. So the first principle is we want to accommodate, you know, different scenarios where user or registrant may want to or wish to submit data in his or her own languages. But on the other hand, we also want to avoid the Tower of Babel effect for registration data. The second principle is we also want to balance between cost and usability of the registration data. So for example, one of the models discussed, is translation and versus transliteration. Although maybe translation is more accurate, there's also cost implications. So there's a trade-off between cost and usability. These are great policy questions. And the third guiding principle is to consider the needs of the human users, which are regular WHOIS users, as well as legitimate automation, that means applications that parse and analyze the registration data. So balancing, with these guiding principles in mind, the working group has come up with four models. So the first model is more or less the status quo today, is registrants provide domain contact data in a must-be-present script. We have a Russian example and Chinese example here. It's pretty much the status quo today. Model two is registrants provide data in any registrar-accepted script, and registrars provide a point of contact when there's issues, when registrars need to contact a particular domain name holder. So in this example, we see a fictitious registrar, with the URL nick.ru, put his contact information, phone number, fax, and email number. But the actual contact information for the domain name is in Russian. It's the same for the Chinese example. So that's the second model. The third model is registrants provide data in any registrar-accepted script, and it's up to the registrar's responsibility and to provide transliteration tool and publish in the must-be-present script. It's somewhat similar to model one, but, kind of going one step beyond. Registrars provide a transliteration. Model four is very similar to model three, but here instead of transliteration is registrars provide translation tools to publish in a must-be-present language. In this case, it's English. So let me compare. We've been talking about translation and transliteration. Let me compare the two for you. We have an convenient example in model one. So in model one, for example, in the Russian in the Chinese example, the country is the People's Republic of China. That's the correct translation of the country name. But transliteration of the country name is different. It's a phonetic transcription. You would say 中国, as how you mean the country of China. It's the same for Shenzhen, Guangdong province. That means a province within China. But that's in translation. But in transliteration, you would say Shenzhen, Guangdong. So that's kind of very high-level difference between translation and transliteration. So those are the four models. To summarize, we can think of these models in a two-by-two table. You know, for the column, we have transliteration and versus translation. For the rows, we have, you know, registrant's responsibility or the registrar's responsibility. And model two is not in the two-by-two table. It's because the registrar provide merely a point of contact. So the working group has issued a set of preliminary recommendations. The first recommendation sets out a basic service requirement for the WHOIS protocol in the IDN in the IRD world, that it must be able to support accept query of either U label or A label format, and must be able to display results in both U and A label for the domain names, and something must be done to handle IDN variants in the responses. The second recommendation touches on the various data elements to be internationalized. For the interest of time, I wouldn't go into it. These are in the previous slides. I'd like to come back and really see some feedback or discussion on these three questions. Which of the four models for internationalizing registration contact data is most appropriate? And are there any other models that the working group should consider? So that's the first question, the four models. Second, which of the preliminary recommendations, if any, are feasible? This refers to both setting a service requirement for the WHOIS protocol, as well as, you know, internationalizing those specific data elements. Are there any related recommendations the IRD working group should consider? The third question is issues of language tag. The question is there a need for the contact information to be in multiple languages and scripts? Let me qualify that statement. During the working group discussion, you know, we were discussing a point to see, is there a need for a use case in particular, for example, for contact name, for the domain holder contact information in one language, but administrative contact or technical contact information in another language? Or even down further, are there any use cases where for a given contact, the name and the address, those could be in different languages and scripts? So that's that has some implications, technical implications, on how the data should be tagged. So those are the three key questions the working group would really like to seek out community discussion. I think with that, I've concluded the presentation, and welcome to questions. Before I do that, Jim, do you have anything to add? Jim is our co-chair for the working group.
No, thank you, Steve. Nothing to add.
Okay, thanks. Okay, any questions? Let's see. I saw some discussion on the chat room. Could we have this PowerPoint presentation? Absolutely. Oh, Paul raised his hand. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Steve. It's Paul Diaz from Network Solutions. I'm waiting for the response, and Owen's given me something here. From registrar's perspective, I think looking at this group, let me take a step back. It's largely populated by registry operator reps or others in the technical side of the community. There's only one registrar rep that I'm aware of. And my colleagues are very concerned that this, any of these proposals, the four models that have been suggested, sort of have a unfunded mandate feel to them, in that, you know, one way or another, it's registrars who are going to be bearing the costs of providing transliteration or translation services. We just came back saying, well, why aren't registry operators in the mix here? You know, I saw Chuck's note saying that registries don't have a direct relationship with the registrant. While it may be true, I guess my concern is that, look, ultimately, registry operators want to have as clean or perfect information in their databases as possible. It strikes me that if we leave the translation in any of the four models proposed, you run a high risk of garbage in, garbage out, because there's going to be any number of different perspectives on how to translate or transliterate the information. I'm sorry, as a registrar hearing that, you know, that this group is recommending that registrars or the registrants directly do all the heavy lifting on this, it seems to me just wrongheaded, and I'm really wondering, isn't it in the registry operator's interest to provide a standard tool to translate, transliterate data that comes in, so that ultimately, you know, the information that appears in their database will be accurate, or as accurate as it can be?
Thank you, Paul. I take a note of your questions. I think these are very important. With regards to accuracy, I was given a previous presentation to the at-large community, and they raised this question as well. My sense is, at least we don't want the WHOIS data to be more inaccurate because of the, you know, internationalized registration data. So I think on that point, the incentives is aligned. I mean, your other points, some other points, the incentive may not be so well aligned. So I really welcome you to submit a comment through the public comment, and the working group will take up that and consider that carefully. Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Paul, you're absolutely right that registries are concerned about the validity of the data that's in there. So, and I think that's something that we as registries and registrars would want to work together on. One of the things I would suspect will happen, though, whoever does the translation or the transliteration, is that there's going to have to be corrections made, adjustments made, because we all know that there are translation errors. I'm sure there would be transliteration errors, too. And so there may have to be communication between with the registrant. So that would put registries, if they had that primary responsibility, at a disadvantage, in fact, an awkward situation, where we would have to go to the registrar, and then the registrar would have to communicate and so forth. These are all really good issues. I'm not suggesting that registries would not want to work with registrars and the community in terms of the best overall solution, but that's at least one area where the fact that the registry has no contractual relationship or doesn't even know for sure who they should be contacting without using registrar who is information would be a challenge that we need to work on.
Thank you, Chuck.
So this is Jim Galvin from Phileas, and speaking in part as co-chair of the ESSEC side of the co-chair of this working group. One thing I want to be careful about is to point out that the quality of the data itself, in terms of its accuracy, is actually not in scope for this working group. It is true that the quality of WHOIS data is quite generally a very serious issue, but that's not an issue that this working group is speaking about. The second thing I want to point out is the scope of this working group is about setting requirements for internationalized registration data. And that does not speak to precisely how this would be implemented. So Paul raises an important point, which is how would this be implemented and where would most of the burden be borne in the implementation of these suggested requirements? And while those are important, that is an important question, and it deserves due consideration, that question in and of itself is also not in scope for this working group. The purpose of this group is simply to specify what are the requirements that are needed. So do we need a translation service? Do we need a transliteration service? Does the data need to be presented in a available EDEN2 form? The group would take that, and it would offer up one of the four models as the most likely candidate for how this could be done. So I would encourage you in making comments into the public forum to draw that distinction between your support for internationalized registration data, which presumably we are all in support of. We certainly would like registrants to be able to work in their own languages, and draw a distinction between that and how you would like to see it implemented. If you don't like these four models because you think that they drive you towards a particular implementation, ideally it would be most helpful to propose a different model. And at the very minimum, be very specific about what it is about a model that concerns you in terms of its expected implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I saw Paul want to respond. Paul?
Yeah, just a follow-up. Thank you, Jim. Excellent points. The question I had for you is, should the community consider this, the output of this working group, the first of basically several iterations? In other words, you guys are probably taking the first cut at what the data looks like. Then a subsequent group will take the findings and focus more closely on implementation issues or whatever. Is that the way this should be read, that this is not some ICANN rush to get IDNs out there because some particular interest may be pushing very hard for it? Is it akin or more akin to, you know, almost the never-ending, let's hope it doesn't go there, but the never-ending who is, where there's just slice after slice as we try and work our way through all the various issues?
Well, to some extent, Paul, I agree with you. This is, we're sort of biting off a little piece of something here and hoping that we can come to consensus as a step in the right direction. My expectation is that this group does have, you know, fairly limited scope in that sense. So, yes, I would expect another iteration with some other group. Perhaps this group will be reconstituted in a different form with a different scope and different requirements in order to begin to address implementation issues, or maybe that'll be handled differently altogether. This group does have a very specific mandate, and the ideal goal is to simply meet that mandate, specify those requirements, and then move on and allow this to move forward, according to the natural order of things.
Thanks, Jim. Chuck?
Yeah, and these are really good issues that are being brought up. If I remember correctly, this group is clearly not a policy development body. So there's probably another step that will need to occur, or steps, in between the work of this group and whatever recommendations come out of it and implementation, and that's policy development, which would be handled by the SOs as appropriate.
Thank you, Chuck.
And this is Jim again. Thank you, Chuck. That's a very good point, and you're exactly right.
Any other questions? Trying to follow.
I don't mean to ask all the questions today, but I'll just follow up one that I had in the chat that I haven't heard any of the experts answer. Can anybody help? Are there existing transliteration tools that already exist that experts feel do a very good job that they might even recommend using in one of the four models? I mean, I guess it'd be a lot easier for people to get their head around what will be involved if there's something we can look to, start testing or tinkering with today, as opposed to just this big bogey out there that, oh, we're going to have to do this at some point when it gets operational concerns.
The tools that let me think. There are two tools that I can think of. The first two, and both are open source, I think. The Google Translation has an API for both translation and transliteration, so that it's kind of a web-based AJAX tool. The other two, I have to find out for you. There's also an open source. If you could just bear me with a second, I'll find out for you. There is a tool called there's an institute called ICU. They have a transliteration tool freely available. Let me put that in the chat room. So those are the ones I know we can. That question, you know, I'll take back to the working group and we can find and get you an answer for that.
Well, Steve,
go ahead,
Jim again. Yeah, let me just comment that we have in our discussions, you know, talked about the existence of tools and, you know, and talked about how they work and what it means to have them and that kind of thing. It's not within the purview of this group to recommend particular tools. It's clear that automated tools are never going to be 100%, and I think it's fair to say that there was consensus on that point. Obviously these automated tools have varying levels of success, which then goes to the issue of quality of who is data, and that, of course, is a whole separate discussion, which is not in scope for this group either. I don't really know what the final answer is going to be about translation and transliteration, and certainly if Steve wants to put together some URLs and make them generally available in some way as just sort of observations that we've made over time that are related to this work, I think that would be helpful and a good thing to do. But I want to be careful just to take note that it's certainly not an official position of the working group to sort of point out tools and in any way try to be comprehensive about that or speak to their quality. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions? Okay. The public comment, the document is in public comment, and the public comment will close on March the 14th. So I will strongly encourage you, if you have comments, to submit through the public comment. And then at the end, the working group will consider that. Oh, Chuck has another question.
Well, my question's, sorry, I didn't, you could have finished your thought there. My question has to do with feasibility. Does the interim report talk about feasibility at all, or just on what we've seen today?
Yes, the interim report does talk about feasibility. Jim, would you want to say a few words on that?
No, I can't think of anything to say. Thank you.
I plan on reading the report, so that's okay, but I just thought maybe there was another part of the presentation on that, but that's fine. I have not had time to read the interim report yet, but I will do that shortly.
Okay. There's a section in the report that talks about the existing WHOIS protocol is not able to support IDN consistently. So that's, I think, one finding of the working group's work.
Yeah. And that, of course, is no surprise to most of us. And I guess that's where I was, you know, why I was asking the question. So you kind of left the impression, though, Steve, that the existing protocol handles does a better job, I think, than it really does with regard to IDNs. Was that intentional?
No, there's it's not. I mean, we want to. It was not intentional at all. We just want to. These four models are currently the ones open issues that the working group is discussing, and the working group really want to hear from the community what they think about these models. That's why we put them in the forefront of presentation. It does not imply at all that, you know, the WHOIS protocol is able to handle them.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, Chuck, I guess, so this is Jim again, I'll just add, I guess I wasn't really sure what the context of your question was. I mean, I think we're all in agreement that the WHOIS protocol, as defined today, is insufficient to meet the needs of international ICE registration data. And with that in mind, you know, we're out here specifying the requirements for something to replace that. And if that's what you meant by feasibility, I mean, I hope that answers your question. The purpose of these four models is, you know, giving some thought to what it means to internationalize registration data and the ways in which that might be achieved. And so we're very interested in what people think about those things. I don't know if that adds to your feasibility question or makes it worse. Does that partly answer your question?
Really, my question, I think, has been answered okay. I was really going back to the beginning of the presentation where there were two parts, and one of them was feasibility, and then maybe that was just the report and not this presentation, so that's probably where I read it wrong. It's fine. My question was answered sufficiently.
Okay, thank you, Chuck.
Okay, so we will make the slides available. I'm trying to think what's the appropriate mechanism to distribute the slides. So maybe we can put it on the ICANN website and give a URL to it.
The working group has a place, I mean, the same place right. Where you're going to post the recordings of these webinars, just put the slides alongside it, right?
Right. Okay, we'll do that. And so we'll do that, and if people want to request the slides, you can also send an email. Liz, you want to say something?
I just wanted to say that I thought Chuck's question was, comment was actually a really good one, because although this is an interim report and the purpose of this is to do outreach to, you know, so that the broad community understands what's being considered with these models, ultimately going back to the charter for this group, the board asked the working group to study the feasibility and suitability of introducing display specifications to deal with the internationalization of registration data. So I think the question about feasibility specifically is quite appropriate for, you know, the group ultimately to be opining on to the degree that you have, you know, the expertise, the technical expertise to do that.
Thank you, Liz.
And that might be a future step or, you know, et cetera. Understand that's not the focus here.
Okay. Yeah, we will take these comments in, and if there's no more questions, are there any additional questions? If no more, then we can end it kind of a few minutes early. Okay. I will put my email address in the chat room, so if people want to request slides, you can email me, and we also post the slides in the IRD working groups. Now is the Confluence Wiki page. Okay. Well, I want to thank you for your participation, and hope you have a good day.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks,
Steve. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you, Holly. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.